you take so long to come to me? Oh, baby. And love, love, your love. Tell me, were you hiding from me all the time? Each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what I'm gonna do.
This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts, Freeform Radio. Hello, all you wonderful people out there, and welcome back to The Spec. It's been a little while. I feel like I skipped over one because of the Thanksgiving break. Today, we have a very, very special program today because we have one of the best people I know, I gotta say, you know? And that is Dr. Drew Weisberg. Drew is a senior at Tufts. And a lot of you might be wondering, how do I know Drew? Well, we're in a group together, a comedy group together called Major Undecided. But we'll get into that in a second. First of all, Mr. Drew, how are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing terrific. I slept in late. It's a Sunday. I'm feeling good about my finals. I had a lovely breakfast of coffee and a bagel at I don't know if I can use brand names on here, but it's one of our local coffee joints, and I would have no problem with them giving me free stuff. But I won't mention them for fear that the wrath of lawyers will come down on
me. They're going to rain down on you with fire and evil things.
Cease and desist is more what I'm concerned about. Fire is... You can deal with that. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Drew, appreciate you coming on today. I'm excited to talk about all the things we've been doing with majors this semester. And, you know, I feel like it's fitting as the semester comes to a close. And it's your fall semester of your senior year, which is, that's big. You're coming up to your last semester here.
My twilight years, as it were.
Yeah.
No, it is crazy. And I think it's somewhat apt that I'm doing a show, I guess, with you, who, you know, in the start of, you're starting your journey here, and I think that I'd almost say, how does it feel with you coming out of the tunnel of the first half of your freshman year, man? That's
dude, I don't even know. I just feel like, I mean, it's going to be the cliche, but I'm like overwhelmed with just stuff. Like there's just so many groups and things I've been getting involved in. And it's really interesting too, because with me, like, you know, I'm from the area, I grew up nearby, and, you know, being on campus, it feels like a whole other world. Just, you know, meeting people from all over the place, meeting some Ohioans out there. Or are you Texas now?
You know, the subject of my home and where I sort of say I'm from is very complicated. I was, as Sam knows, but I'm hoping the listeners don't, because it would have no consequence to them. I was born in Minnesota, grew up there for about half my life, moved to Ohio in middle school. I lived in St. Louis, Missouri briefly there in the middle, and then I moved to Tufts, and that's where I've been. Medford has been my home for the past 4 years, and now my folks live in Texas. So it's one of those things where that's a more complicated issue, but yeah, it's been, so you've met people from all over.
I mean, I'm meeting people from across the U.S., but also kind of around the world. I mean, I was talking to, I have a few friends from like India. I have a really good friend from Honduras. And you know, we're just having a grand old time. And it's funny, like with some of them, like even the other day, like some of them haven't even seen snow ever before. And like, I was talking with them and they were just like, when there was like a centimeter of snow on the ground, they were like going nuts. And I was like, it was really put things into perspective for me. I don't know. Well, I could go on and on about it, but I want to get into some other stuff, more specifically about majors and other things. Let's see. So you weren't at, we had a little event last night in our comedy group Major Undecided called Fancy Wear. And that one of the things we saw was a bunch of photo albums of sort of past members and past performances and things like that. And how did you get involved in the group to start with?
That's actually a funny story. I got involved by literally wandering into an audition knowing nothing. I had previously auditioned for The Institute, shout out to The Institute, which is another sketch comedy group for those of you playing at home. They're audition based though. We are non-audition. And I sort of said, okay, well that's that, you know, sketch comedy would have been fun, but whatever. And I was actually doing stand up at the time and I was really liking it. But then I literally had, do you know Andrew Vu? He's at the Institute stand up.
Maybe. Yeah.
He's a really funny guy, a really good friend. And, he texted me and he said, "Hey Drew, I'm at auditions for, Major Undecided. Do you want to come audition?" And I was on my way to the gym. You know, I was sort of not really, I was in my workout clothes. I was not mentally or, you know, physically prepared for what I would now consider an audition, but I sort of went, okay, whatever, it's freshman year, I'll give it a try. And I, to my surprise, I was cast in two sketches.
Let's go.
Now for those of you who don't know, if you audition for a major sketch, you will get a
role.
You're in it. I didn't know that.
Oh.
So I sort of got, like, in a way, just not scammed into, but I sort of got kidnapped into two major sketches. And then it sort of just, I just liked the group a lot, and then the next show I did was Sketch Show in a Day.
Oh, and I'm so, side note, that's coming up. I'm so excited for it.
It's gonna be so much
fun. Anyways.
I look forward to it more than I look forward to Christmas. And so it just became a really good environment for me. Actually, more so, not that stand-up wasn't, I just found my niche in majors, and I liked it more, and I do stand up on and off. I come up with jokes occasionally, but majors is just, it's my favorite thing on campus. It's the best thing I do. And it's really been a pleasure to be on the board this year.
Yes.
Yes.
So Drew over here is the artistic director of Major Undecided as well. And how is, you know, stepping into this role this year, how's it been kind of overseeing the process now from, you know, you just describing kind of stumbling upon it in your freshman year, but now kind of overseeing everything? Can you talk about that?
I tell you what, it's actually been a smoother transition than you'd think.
Oh, yeah?
First of all, I should mention, and Sam wouldn't give himself enough credit, nor would he give the rest of his class and all the new people in majors this year, the benefit of just, you guys don't realize how spectacular of a class you guys are, and how spectacular all the new recruits. We've got a ton of returning members. I mean, it's, I've never seen a cast like what we have this year, and I've been doing this for, I have done every single show possible, save for a couple traveling shows and one show my freshman year. And I don't think we've had a streak like this in quite some time. Not to say that not to say that other years haven't been terrific. They of course have. This has just been so much fun, and there's never been a loss of energy. We've been very high energy, and so that's made it a real joy to oversee. I think the other thing is, being on the other side, you really, you realize how much of this is just, it's not big decisions. It's very, it's a lot of, you know, if you have talented people, which of course majors does, you kind of let them go. I sort of found that in AD meetings, which we do before rehearsals, is basically the cast of the sketch and the director, they'll run through the sketch, and I'll oversee it, and the director will give feedback, and I'll give feedback. It's basically just a way to have rehearsals before rehearsals. And I think that I found that I've barely had to say anything. It's just been great. You guys are really making my job easy. Well, and
I think part of that is just like we're having so much fun while we're doing. I think it comes naturally when you're just like having a grand old time and like doing impressions and like just just having a blast. Like it's definitely been a special group for me. You know, I sort of like you kind of stumbled upon it. I was someone who was just like looking at a bunch of things, like signing up for things, auditioning for things. And I stumbled upon majors and just went to a meeting one night, and, you know, kind of the rest is history, some may say. And, you know, I feel like it's a fantastic community that I've been able to fall back on. And just even just like last night with the little bondings and little things that we do, and just already feeling like it's only been a few months and already feeling like everybody's pretty close. And like, it's a really, it's a great place. And for the tough students out there listening, I highly recommend it. But we'll get into more in a little bit. I want to take a quick break, go back to some music for now, if that's okay with you.
Let's hear some.
So next up we have Ride or Die from Duran Jones and the Indicators coming up right now.
I'm
That was Call Off Your Dogs by Lake Street Dive. And we are back now. Drew, how you doing?
I'm still doing good. I'm doing better after that music. Sam picked some great tracks.
Oh yeah. It's a messy process, I feel like. I just go through a bunch of retro soul funk playlists and I just start listening to stuff and then I just like pull things and just see what works and it just kind of lands there and that's what happens.
So, something Sam will learn as he goes to sign up for internships and job offers is that he'll take words like it's a messy process and he'll convert it to I have a very eclectic process. that's just marketing yourself 101.
I guess that's one way of putting it.
It just
happens, okay?
Yeah,
anyways,
just happens. Okay.
Let's talk a little more about majors, more specifically the last show that we just did and sort of the writing process of it. I don't have a lot of experience in sketch comedy at all or even like writing for sketch comedy in the first place, and I tried writing a sketch in the last show, got in, it happened. Drew, you want to elaborate on sort of what happened, this process?
Yes.
Everything?
Yes. So Sam was part of the team behind this just group effort sketch. No, it was great. It was called the Vampires of Castle Walken, and it essentially started from this joke that Sam, our friend Sid, who's couldn't be on the air with us today because he was doing a production of Dry Land.
Shout out Sid, let's go.
First of all, we love you, Sid. You're gonna do great, we know it. But it was you, Sid, I think Aviva, another member of Majors,
Aviva,
wrote another.
Nick
helped write it.
It was a big group effort.
It was everyone. I almost don't want to forget anyone. I think Jacob added a line.
Jacob. Yeah. Did Tristan add anything?
Tristan probably added
there,
something
yeah.
at some point. Peter added something. Peter added a lot, actually. He basically developed the whole character. But
yes.
Yeah. So it was a big group effort, and it was sort of just this idea was, what if Christopher Walken, the Academy Award winning actor, was... Well, what if vampirism came with the cost that you sound like Christopher Walken?
Yes.
And from there, it kind of just spiraled upward into this, this just mass of strange jokes. And it's an entire sketch predicated on lore.
Mm.
It's a lore sketch. It's all backstory. And it was really a game to see how many people we could get on stage doing Christopher Walken impressions at once.
Yeah.
With as little context as possible. Which the irony is, we got as many people on stage as possible, giving as much context as possible. So it was a very interesting sketch. I had a lot
yes.
of fun doing it.
Oh, I had so much fun. And like before all of you like are like, what are they talking about? What is going on? Like it's funny because when we were writing it, like, you know, it was definitely a sketch like for us. Like we had so much fun writing it. But that being said, we were, you know, at times honestly like concerned to see how it would like how the audience during the show would react to it. And that was, you know, I wasn't sure how it was eventually going to turn out. What do you think? I
think experience is a very odd thing to have in sketch comedy because it's really not. It can help you with a lot of things in so much as I don't think I get nearly as nervous before a show as I would before a show freshman year.
Yeah.
You know, I would get real bad anxiety before one of those freshman year. Now I get nervous, but I don't get, it's more that I get excited now rather than anxious because
right.
I sort of go, oh, well, if I forget a line on stage, I'll improv something or I'll cover my rear with a joke or whatever.
Sure.
But, you know, when you have a sketch in that your other performers, because when we rehearse these sketches every night for a week, when your peers aren't laughing, you kind of go, okay, well, how's this going to go in front of an audience? And it really can go either way. I've seen sketches that get a big laugh from our group get a relatively small laugh from the audience and vice versa. And I was really happy to see that the night that we performed it, we had probably our best run of the sketch and we really killed it. And the audience had no idea what was going on, but they loved it. And, you know, The other thing is, and that I've found, is that if you have a sketch that's pretty average, you can almost always improve it with a silly voice.
Oh.
And not to say our sketch was average, but everything is better with silly voices.
Oh, that's right. Do it.
Do the voice?
Do the voice. Okay. Just an example for the audience.
Yes, we go out and we speak as Christopher Walken. Yeah, hello, Samuel. Thank you for having me on the radio program. Meanwhile, the people at home are like, who is talking?
Yes,
right,
exactly.
Like,
is that Walken? What?
Is that Walken? What?
No.
But I was very happy with how that sketch turned out. That was a fun one. Honestly, this last show had a lot of great sketches. Boat Person was really funny.
Oh my gosh. For the people at home listening, like, this is all up on YouTube. Like, you can watch back. It was a blast. And it'll be interesting because, like, in our meeting, I think, was it last week or something, we were talking about, like, different forms of sketch comedy and different styles of kind of approaching it. And I think, you know, that was definitely one specific style of, like, you know, taking this very niche joke and, like, about voices, impressions, and kind of, like, putting it all out there on stage and just chaos. I'm going to be excited, you know, next semester, going forward, future, kind of experimenting with, like, you know, some different styles that just doesn't necessarily totally rely on a funny impression, which is hilarious.
Yes.
Keep in mind, as we could see with that example right there. but I think it will be cool to try out some different writing styles and, you know.
Yeah.
Have fun with it. Yeah.
Well, that is the fun of majors to me, is that we really do have a lot of freedom to experiment. Mm-hmm. And because, we are the non-audition comedy group, it's sort of where just anyone can go. And you can have people from other comedy groups rotate in. I think, like, you can have a member of Cheap Socks, our improv comedy group, do... say, they can come in for a show and they can do a show. You can have mm-hmm. people from the Institute, stand-up comedy. You know, the fact that we have so many members who sort of are shared between the groups, I think makes us a very open group and a very, a group where you can kind of do anything, really, given enough time. I don't know. It's fun. I have a lot of fun doing it.
Oh,
as I've shared.
Yes, we've met. Oh, that was terrible.
That was all right. No. Yes.
Thank you.
It's a very round. Your vowels are very round.
What you are also okay because so Drew was in the sketch and when he was, you know, testing things out, auditioning, whatnot. At one point we had this idea of doing Willem Dafoe or like Jeff Goldblum as well. You mm-hmm. were like the only person in the world that I know personally that got close to a Willem Dafoe like voice and. Like, what is the, like, how
do I develop it?
Like, can you do it on the spot? I'm sorry. I'm putting you a lot on the spot right now.
Hello? Yes. It's good to be in sketches because you have to do things that are very different and out there. It's mostly just the Green Goblin from the first Spider-Man movie.
I just saw that one over the weekend.
The Raimi one?
The Tobey Maguire.
The first one.
First one, yeah.
Okay, yeah, no, that one's great. Well, he's my favorite actor, so honestly, when I'm developing an impression of someone I know, a lot of times I sort of go, okay, well, chances are they probably aren't going to have that distinctive of a voice. But they probably are going to have a verbal tic that I can copy.
Sure.
So there's sort of this idea that, or honestly, there's a lot of body language that goes into it.
Yeah.
Where I'll just study someone's mannerisms. This sounds so creepy when you play it back. It's not.
Don't worry about it.
I just kind of go, okay, well, all right. If I'm going to just observe something about someone, it's honestly just something I do.
I know what you
subconsciously.
Mean. Yeah.
And if I go, okay, well, that person talks with their hands a lot. Sometimes for fun, when someone next to me is talking, I'll just start copying their hand gestures as they're talking, and it drives them crazy. But it's one of my favorite things to do. And a lot of that is just also that I will just watch. A weird trait about me is I just watch movies kind of obsessively.
That's
to the point
fantastic.
Where I just memorize scenes. As a kid, I would just... I think we've all done this with certain movies where we'll just watch them to death.
Oh, totally.
To the point where my vocabulary as a kid was this weird amalgamation of original sentences and then cobbled together dialogue from films.
Mm-hmm.
So it became this thing, this sort of puzzle of figuring out what I was saying because I would, or what movie I was referencing and what I was trying to get across with that dialogue.
Gotcha. It's,
I don't really talk about it much because saying it back out loud, it sounds somewhat interesting. But I sort of, through that, I sort of got this ability to just pick up on verbal tics and cues. And I, that's, so when I'm developing an impression, it's sort of, okay, well, how does this person's voice sound? You know, if it's, I'm looking at a Johnny Cash one right now. So it's sort of going like, well, what does that sound like? Hello, I'm Johnny Cash. It's just,
okay.
How far can I drop my voice down until it gets to his level?
Right.
And sort of, how do I hear the vibrato in his voice? And how do I match that? And it's just listening for the different levels in the person's voice. I'm making it sound like it's this big, intricate process, but it really isn't. It's just a weird talent I have. It's not really I honestly don't think about it all that much, but when I'm really bored, I'll sometimes I'm a big comic book fan, and I'll sometimes just grab a comic book and I'll try to, by looking at the character, guess what their voice would sound like, and I'll kind of just do that voice in my I'll basically talk to myself while holding a comic book in different voices in my apartment.
Have you ever considered a side career or a main career? I don't know, side career in impression in like voice acting or things like that.
I would love that. My hero actually is a guy named David Hayter, who voiced Solid Snake in the Metal Gear Solid games, and he's a screenwriter. Nice. He actually wrote the first two X-Men movies and Watchmen. Yeah.
Nice.
So I'm a huge fan of his work, and I would love to be a David Hayter-esque figure in any industry, really. But I love voice acting. It's a lot of fun. That's pretty much it.
I love it. I love it. All right, folks. We're getting to that time of the program, halfway through. One thing I have to do, Drew, every program, I don't know if you know this, is I have to read a public service announcement as part of the show.
Okay.
So today, we have space heater safety tips. Space heaters can be a very effective form of supplemental heating, allowing you to stay toasty warm in an area that you spend a lot of time in, while helping you save money by keeping the rest of your home at a lower temperature. However, space heaters account for 1/3 of home heating fires and 81% of home heating fire deaths. So it's important to follow the manufacturer's safety and operating instructions. In particular, keep anything that can burn, including paper, bedding, furniture, curtains, pets, and people, at least 3 feet away. Space heaters should be monitored when in operation, and always turn them off before leaving your home or going to bed. Never use a portable heater in wet areas like bathrooms or if small children are expected nearby. And that was a message from your fire safety-minded friends here at WMFO Medford, Tufts Educational Radio. Space heaters, man. Gotta be careful. All right. I think it's time for some more music.
Time
I don't know about
music.
You.
All right.
Next up, we got California Wine by Quinn Devlin and the Bridge Street Kings, and we'll see you in a little bit. Let's do it.
Sounds great.
Was a particular notion way back in time. You've got that real emotion to sit back in line. So don't you forget about me, 'cause I'll be back in time. Drink that California wine. I was reeling backwards, I missed all the signs. Everything that I thought I knew was of another kind. So don't you forget about me, 'cause I'll be back in time. We'll drink that California wine. Ooh.
cha-cha. You're not alone in this fight. You've been living in too much darkness. Let me show you the light. Don't you forget about me, 'cause I'll be back in time. We'll drink that California wine. California wine, yeah, 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 yeah. We're driving down Sunset.
Alrighty, everybody. How are we doing?
But by the way,
what?
Wait, I don't know if that's coming what is from us. What is happening? Is that coming from outside?
I think it is. Yeah.
Sorry, everybody.
There's some sort of holiday disturbance going on outside.
We could take a quick pit stop and come back, or are we?
I think it's almost over. I can focus through it. It's just if you can, I'm good.
Hey, live radio, everybody!
The magic of live radio. Yes.
Yeah, radio. Hey,
speaking of live radio, David, if you're listening right now, I just want to say hi. that's all.
That one's for you, David.
That one's for you, David.
That is all for you.
You man, you.
Anyways, well, on that note, so Drew, I wanted to talk a little bit more about, you know, you being a senior, kind of what you're studying, also, you know, some of the projects you have in the works of kind of wrapping things up here at Tufts. And I know you're a screenwriter, you're film and media studies, all that.
What's it been looking like? Oh boy. You know, it's, well, I kind of got into the film and media studies game pretty late in what I would consider the college experience. I think second semester of my sophomore year, which we would go on to know as the last semester before COVID, was actually when I decided to become a film major. Mm. And I had done about half a psych degree, so I was pretty behind.
Gotcha.
But I always knew that I loved writing, and it was actually really great. I signed up for Kari Jones' screenwriting class, who is also my advisor, and I immediately loved it. It was just so effortless and so much fun, and I just didn't want to do anything else. And so now I'm undertaking a senior thesis. I'm writing a screenplay that's sort of a Vietnam era reimagining of Dracula called Nothing Good After Midnight, and it's coming along. I'm done with Act One. I'm almost halfway through Act Two, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm so excited. It's so much fun.
Any details about anything you can disclose, or you know?
Any details?
It's fine if not. I know, the artistic process.
Any details on the artistic process, or
just like what
know?
You were ju- what your project you just mentioned?
It's great. It's just sort of this story about. Honestly, it's a lot about accepting grief and accepting. It's interesting. The story was originally about sort of the idea of sort of the military preying on men, and that was sort of the story, but it sort of actually evolved as it's been written, and I sort of realized, oh, this is a story about sort of coming to terms with grief and guilt, and sort of how those two things are sort of two sides of the same coin in war, because a lot of the time you're experiencing a lot of grief for what you've seen and a lot of guilt for what you've done. So it sort of becomes, I've obviously never been to war, but from what I've read and what I've seen, and I obviously did a pretty extensive research on not only the Vietnam War, but but on sort of the time period in which the film is set, which is it's about October 71, I think.
Yeah.
I think I literally just put a date to it, which is, I think it starts October 4th, 1971. And the reason I know that is because I googled what happened in October of 1971.
Gotcha.
And it takes, one of the ways that I say it, the date, without actually using sort of a date, you know, October or whatever, 1971, is I have a radio broadcast say that Pink Floyd has just started filming their movie Pink Floyd Live at Pompeii.
Oh.
And then it plays the song, I think it's Saucer Full of Sorrow, I think is the song.
Okay.
And so that sort of is the soundtrack for the opening scene.
Gotcha.
And so it's fun. I like doing little tricks like that instead of just saying my exposition at people. It's a lot of fun. I think people will like it.
That's super fun. So I don't know exactly how it works. So is it presented just in class, or is there like a film festival or something that happens?
Oh, we could not film this at Tufts for just a number of reasons, but the greatest of which is it's an out there script. It's a weird script, and it's, I have a lot of colleagues in the senior thesis, classmates.
Get it together, Drew. You're still a student.
My God. I'm just sticking my jaw out, eating plenty of premium caviar. A lot of other people in the senior thesis program are doing short films, but Tufts actually won't let you do a feature.
Because
the amount of time that would go into it. I mean, it says a lot that it takes a whole year for me to write, or the program goes for a year, and that's how long it's going to take for me to write a feature-length screenplay.
Right.
If you thought about putting that on a college student and is writing a feature film screenplay, then filming it, editing it, sound mixing, lighting, you know, color correction, it's just all the things that go into making a movie, it would... And then you add in the fact that they're doing, what, four other classes sometimes and extracurriculars?
Yeah.
You'd never sleep. So I get why they do that, but it'll probably end up in a table read, which is just gather a bunch of actors and have them read the script. You'd be welcome. Yeah. I actually have a perfect role for you.
Okay.
Come to think of it. If you want to play. Yeah, actually, you would be pretty much perfect for the role of Ted.
All right.
Which you guys will have to wait. I'm going to get really close to the mic for this next one. You guys will have to wait and see when this comes to cinemas, when... Hopefully, I sell it to a film studio.
Oh.
I hope so.
I will be the first person in the cinema when that happens of course.
You know what? I hope so. I sure hope you get to see it.
Well, in your Oscar acceptance speech, can you please, just like I know you'll have a lot of people to thank, but, you know, just leave a little space in there to say.
For the spec?
For the spec or something.
This is the first time I've publicly talked about it on any sort of forum.
Yeah.
I will say, this is technically, I mean, I've talked with friends about it, but this is the first time I've said anything about it that will be on record.
Well, there you are, folks. You heard it here first, and put that on the record, because when this thing is blowing up and in theaters across the country,
streaming to your brain directly, or however you're watching movies,
they will cite the spec on WMFO Tufts Freeform Radio as the place where it was first mentioned.
That'd be nutty.
There you go.
I can't imagine.
Anyway, what do you think about one other thing? You know, I feel like there's so many great movies coming out now to theaters especially because of the COVID hiatus and everything kind of just getting like allotted to this year when it was all supposed to come out last year too. And there's just so much I want to see and I've already seen. And what are your recommendations? Since you mentioned you watch a lot of movies, do you watch a lot of new releases, or you mostly stick with some old stuff?
That's a great question. I actually sort of have a pretty bad reputation for, as soon as somebody tells me to see something, I immediately just in my mind subconsciously push off watching it by 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the things I'm excited for are just stuff I'm a fan of. The new Spider-Man movie, I think everybody's excited for that.
Yes.
Really excited to go see the Batman. The new Paul Thomas Anderson movie.
Okay.
The Licorice Pizza. I'm
nice.
Intrigued by that movie. I haven't seen a ton of marketing material for it, but I mean, he's always good.
Yeah.
That's a big one that I'm hyped for. I honestly don't follow movie news super closely, but I've been watching a lot of old movies too. So
what? Any? Just for my sake, what's one that you recommend?
Oh, gee, I just saw Sam Raimi's Evil Dead 2.
Okay,
and that's probably the best horror comedy of all time.
All right.
mean, folks, it's not for the faint of heart, but it's a parody of sort of 50s B horror movies, and so you really get this really grimy 80s indie movie feel, but you get this sort of overacting and clunky exposition of a 50s B. It's honestly the funniest deconstruction of a genre you'll ever see.
Gotcha.
And it's terrific. It's really funny.
Wow. But, I am blown away. I'm really excited to hear about you know, your script and how much work you put into it and all the writing and movies and comedy and just doing your thing. I'm really sad because we're getting, like, we only have a couple minutes left, and I'm so glad you came on to the program today, Mr. Drew, because it was a blast, I gotta say.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
I gotta say hi to one more person.
So, oh yeah, go ahead.
Hey Pan, I know you're probably you're gonna hear this later. Hi babe.
There you have it, folks. Well, yeah, Drew, thank you so much again. You definitely, for the people out there listening, check out Major Undecided, watch some movies, do some impressions, just have a good time. You know, we're having a good time on here. And as always, this is The Spec. I'm Sam Derringer, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. We got one more song for you all today that's going to take us out for the rest of the program. This is the last show of the semester. I will definitely be back next semester for more features, more guests, more funk soul tunes, more Drew possibly.
Oh, I hope so.
I think that might be a definite. And yeah, have a fantastic new year, have a fantastic holiday season, and we will see everybody in the new year. Take care.
The spirit's up, we're here tonight, and that's enough. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The party's on, the feeling's here, that only comes this time of year. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. Simply having a wonderful Christmas time. The choir of children sing.